Belinda presents this unabridged recording of The Strange Adventures of H, written by Sarah Burton and read by Karen Cass. If you have ever wondered why hangings always take place on a Monday, it is so that the chaplain of the jail may dedicate all of Sunday to readying his charge to meet his maker. On this Sunday, the usual sermon is set aside, and in its stead, the condemned sermon is preached to the condemned man, who is standing in the condemned pew, in front of which is placed his coffin, lest there is any chance he may for a moment forget that he is indeed to be launched into eternity on the morrow. I do not pretend to know if this is universally the case, but it is certainly so at Newgate. For weeks before, all prisoners will have been required to pray daily at chapel, for those now awaiting the awful execution of the law. And while the condemned pew may have held 10 or 20 following the last Old Bailey sessions, this figure will have dwindled, by disease, by suicide, and by reprieve, until perhaps only 3 or 4 condemned men remain. On the occasion I relate, there was left only one. On the day of the condemned sermon, the congregation in the prison chapel is swelled by visitors, curious ladies and gentlemen who have paid for their seats, the best in the house from which to view the proceedings. They have come for the next part of the ceremony, the service for the dead. This the chaplain directs at the man who is to be hanged. He speaks at length in awful tones of vice and retribution, sin and suffering, shame and sorrow, grief and wretchedness, hellfire and brimstone, and of those orphaned and widowed by the crime, and, worst for the condemned man, those to be orphaned and widowed on the morrow. The condemned man generally collapses, fainting under the weight of his fate, or he may turn white and clammy and become as still as a statue. Some go into a frenzy, spasm, fit, scream and rave. This is allowed to go on for several minutes before the man is restrained, in order that those guilty of less serious crimes may be suitably impressed with the terror of his case, and so that the curious ladies and gentlemen may get their money's worth. The service over, the wretch will be returned to the condemned cell, a stone box, perhaps 6 feet by 8 feet, furnished with a rope mat, a stable rug, and a vigorous population of vermin of all kinds. His feast is bread, water, and gruel. A small barred hole in the wall admits little air and less light, and he is allowed a candle at night. At first he shared this cell with 2 or 3 others, but they have gone on, one way or another, and now he is alone. I cannot tell you how Praise God Fricker spent his last night on earth, as I was not there, and the particulars I have given here I have found out by general inquiry. I know only that the chaplain will surely have exerted himself to break the condemned man's spirit, if it be not already broken, and to urge him to confess and repent, accept his fate with humility and, above all, not struggle with the hangman.